Hi, this is Lisa Tomei Zonfeld of Prolific Pulse Press, LLC. Today, for our podcast, we'll be interviewing Rebecca N. Herz, author of Homecoming, which was released in January 2023. Rebecca Herz is the author of Homecoming. Her individual poems can be found in Sinister Wisdom Journal, The Last Leaves, The Madrigal, Prolific Pulse, Fine Lines, and On Medium, and more. Rebecca is a graduate student of social work at Rutgers University and lives in New Jersey with her wife and cats. Welcome, Rebecca. It's so wonderful to have you here today. It was just like a couple days ago that I saw you for your book launch. So congratulations on getting this book off the ground.
Thank
How
you.
Does it feel to be a published poet as far as having a book published?
It's amazing. It's something I've always wanted to do. It's always been a dream of mine. So it feels really good to have the book in front of me and to have people reading it.
You find that you're kind of pinching yourself, that is this really real?
Yeah, I definitely felt that way during the launch and also my in-person launch. I just was like, wow, I can't believe I'm actually holding this thing, this product, because it's been all process up to now. I mean, and now I have this product and it's exciting, but I sort of have to keep reminding myself that it's the process that I really care about. And not to get too wrapped up in the actual product of the book, even though it's really exciting.
Well, to celebrate every success along the way, the success of a poem being accepted by a journal and, you know, the success of writing a poem and getting that sweet spot where you know that, okay, this is ready to be, you know, submitted to someone to be considered. So poetry writing and writing in general has a lot of little beats of success along the way.
Yeah.
Absolutely. And for people that want to follow you, like on Medium, you have a big Medium page and following. And so people go on medium.com and look up Rebecca Herz, they're going to find out that there's some amazing poetry and interaction on that particular page. And I will be sure to put the link tree into the information on this so that people can go there and find all the places that they can find you, including to see pictures of your cat. So,
yes.
Brady, and is it Bree with you today?
Brady, yes, she's going to be on my lap later. I can guarantee it. She's the new one that we just rescued, and we have two others. Fiona and Sebastian. So they appeared in my book a couple of times. So I don't think they cared, but they appeared. And I find that when I put cats in my promo videos, more people watch it. So I've been doing that recently.
Nothing wrong with that. You know, cats love reading because that means that maybe they get to sit on your lap while you're looking at a book or whatever. And what cats don't like laps? Not too many that I know of.
They love when I read. Yeah.
Best audience ever. I guess
yes.
I think it's kind of perfect, right? Ha ha. No pun intended there. So
oh, yeah.
I met you, Rebecca. It's been in the pandemic period, probably about 3 years ago at Shut Up. What is it called? Shut Up and Let Me Write or something.
Shut Up and Write.
Shut Up and Write. And so you were just happened to be in one of the Shut Up and Write rooms. And so was I, trying to get some book work done and focus. And little did I know that I would see you, you know, down the road talking about doing a book with you. So it's a small world, but, you know, just it kind of gives me chill bumps to think, okay, you know, I knew this lady when.
It is kind of crazy to think about that, because Shut Up and Write was something that was very on again, off again for me. So the fact that I was in that there that day, and then the fact that I actually met another writer who recommended you in a later session. And so, I mean, a big part of what I was trying to do before I was publishing the book, I was originally going to self-publish. And so something I was doing was going on Medium and trying to also go on different groups online. And at a certain point, people were recommending that I find a publisher. So that's the direction that I went in. And thankfully, I found you.
And I know that you have some other books that you're looking at publishing, or at least another book or maybe two. So are you getting excited about working on those projects?
Yeah, rumor has it. So yeah, I think that I did cut a lot of poems from my first book, Homecoming, and I would like to create something with those poems. I think that there's something there, and also some other poems that I've written that I feel could go with them. So yeah, I do see a book coming up, I think more on the theme of ancestry and kind of digging my teeth into that a little bit more. I'm looking forward to exploring that.
That's wonderful. I look forward. Homecoming follows a certain theme. Would you like to tell people about the theme of Homecoming? I don't know how it came about. What it's comprised of?
Yeah. So the main theme of Homecoming is the idea that home exists within. So that's the main premise of the book. And the poems kind of work around this premise. And this premise is not original. It's an idea that I grew up with, that was instilled in me. And, you know, the idea that the divine dwells within you. So that's something that I've always carried with me. And it just kind of became the heart of the book. So some of the other themes that go around that is the opposite of, I explored the opposite, a juxtaposition of you're looking outside of yourself for the divine, or you're looking outside of yourself for the answers to who you are, the answers to the life questions, and kind of wandering and searching. And there's nothing wrong with that. But I found in my own travels and my own experience that it's not until I grounded within myself and found that home was within myself that I really found some of those answers or uncovered more questions that I'm still in the process of answering.
Task, isn't it, of continuing to answer those questions?
Yeah, you know, it's a lifelong task. And I think what happened is instead of needing to find the answers, I became okay with having the questions.
Would you mind sharing with us a poem that maybe speaks to the theme?
And sure.
Maybe a favorite one that you might have that would define the book?
I'd be happy to. I'll read the poem called Homecoming. I think that's a good place to start. Homecoming. For the longest time, home was the treacherous bridge between two selves roped off. I could not find the strength to cross that line. On the other side, my beloved beckoned me with such patience. Come into the light. Stopping me, a sign with skull and crossbones reading, cross and die. For the longest time, I could not hear my beloved's call heralding me home. I belong here, I cried from my side. Why would I risk my life? Little did I know, only death to self could deliver me home to self. Some say it's harder to arrive than it is to depart, that coming home can hurt. So many questions deserted in the wormholes of time, and the divine will, a mystery beyond mysteries, alive in me. Waterfall of meanings, oh God, I am helpless to the current.
Thank you. That really does speak truly to the theme of the book. It's a great, great selection there too. And if someone were to ask you why you're a poet, what would you say?
I think it's something deep within me. And also, I think the fact that it's expressed itself in poetry is due to teachers I've had along the way. I do believe that every child has creativity within them and has the desire to create. And it just harnessed in such a way that I came to love poetry because I had teachers who loved poetry.
Were you when you first started writing poetry?
I started writing pretty much as soon as I could write. It started with comic books, but the comic books were written in such a way that it was like poetry. I started writing songs really 9, 10 years old. I started writing songs. And it kind of just, it was songwriting. It was poetry because I also play guitar. So I've done a lot of songwriting as well. That's sort of how I found the music and poetry. And I just continued to study it. And then when I went to college, I studied creative writing. It just sort of continued.
Notice that on YouTube that you have where you're actually singing one of your poems. And I really love that. It would be interesting to maybe produce something like an audio, I don't know if it be an audio book or an album or some sort with your poetry and music. I think that would be really cool. A lot of what you write could be put into, a song, or it could be lyrical into a song. Have you thought about doing something like that?
Yeah, I've thought about producing an album. I do have enough songs for that. I wrote a bunch of songs when I was in Israel, the same as the book. Usually the way I write songs is I just pick up my guitar, I start playing, and then I kind of like practice the lyrics as I'm playing. I don't really write them down first. So it's very much different than my poetry process, because the music kind of comes along with the words as I'm writing them down, versus the words come along with the music as I'm playing and singing. So it's my songs are very different than my poems. They have a very different character. They're not as, it's hard to describe, but they feel different than my poems.
Do they feel a little bit more lyrical?
Yeah, I think it's less focused on necessarily the words and more focused on like how the words sound sort of in relationship with the music. Versus like with poetry, it's more like how the music sounds in relationship to the words. It's kind of reversed.
Do you have any poems in your book that you have played along with your music? I think I saw one on YouTube or something like that.
There is one that I cut that I sang to. Something I feel like could be a song is the poem Brought Down to the Earth, because it has refrains. It would be kind of a non-traditional song in the sense that there wouldn't really be a chorus, more like an experimental piece. But yeah, I think that the poem Brought Down to the Earth, because there's the repetition, all of the stanzas are pretty much the same size and length. So it's kind of like structured in such a way I feel like it could be. You want me to share the poem?
Yeah.
Sure. Brought Down to the Earth. Brought down to the earth, I return to my birth. Come to nothing, foundered, and yet, before my chastening, I would flicker as a narcissus from nectar to nectar, seeking again and again my God's ambrosia unhinged. Brought down to the earth, I find my roots nested deep in the mycelium maze, strained to disentangle myself alone in the finality of dust. I scream, and yet it seems my God's unfazed. Brought down to the earth, I accept my work, my solitude, abandoning flight at last, for the comfort of clay and wildflowers, for the certainty of decay, no longer aloft. Brought down to the earth, we writhe through the macrocosm. No direction, no God. Sheen and shadow determine our plans to sustain and to survive, our only purpose these days. Brought down to the earth, we seek God in piles of dirt, which from our station remind us of mountains. It seems collapse is our calling. So sprawled out over the hummus, we become human. Brought down to the earth, we pull our nourishment out of the dust that'll swallow us someday without remorse, as we are, but bodies merged into one substratum for the coming generations. Brought down to the earth, I cleave to my beloved, closer than I ever held the clouds, cocooned together, hanging by a thread, with our silken chrysalis camouflaged by the forest haze, we do not hatch. Brought down to the earth, I am not myself if not for her, for without her, what would I be? Reaching, reaching, and then alone, forced to succumb to the facts of fallout. Brought down to the earth, the difference between spirit and substance becomes irrelevant, mere meanderings of the mind, as now we are asked to face our ruin. Brought down to the earth by the floods, the flames, the wars. I wish I were still captive among the stars and chained to the moon. I yearn for my heart in Venus's roseate cloud.
Thank you. Thank you. That's such a beautiful poem. I'm so glad that you read that for us today.
Thank you.
If you were going to give advice to someone who's looking at publishing a book, what kind of pointers or advice would you give to them?
Yeah, I think find someone who really understands your vision for the book. It's more important than anything else because you want the book to be what you imagined it to be. Sometimes it will turn out differently, which is okay, but you know, finding someone who really understands your work, I think, is the most important thing. Or if you're going to self-publish, just do your research, find a community of people who have done the same thing so that you're not reinventing the wheel and you can get advice from them.
Rebecca, I really appreciate you coming on here today. It's been such a pleasure talking with you. Would you like to read a poem to take us out?
Sure.
And before you do, I want to tell people where to find your book. It's on Amazon, Barnes & Noble, Books A Million, IndieBound, where you can have it delivered to an independent bookstore and go pick it up and show everybody in the store what you bought. Do that, please. Help our independent bookstores. You never know, it might show up on a library shelf. You know, I think I've heard a hint that that could be happening with you or so. And it's also available on ebook. So it's readily available.
And directly from me.
And directly from you. And if someone wants to get an autographed copy, how would they do that?
They can email me at homecomingpoet@gmail.com.
Homecomingpoet@gmail.com. Get your autographed copy. You won't regret it. It's a beautiful book. Thank you so much, Rebecca. Take us out with a poem.
Okay. My mother's angels. My mother and I used to walk through our little suburban alcove, comment on the hydrangeas and smile, carrying their vitality like pollinators wherever we stepped, and still we missed him. Sought him out in signs upon the brush, a butterfly writhing through the weeds, dancing the kind of dance that can injure you if you're not prepared. The kind of flesh revelation to which some dedicate their lives. Pain and pleasure, it's all the same. What's left is grass on the lawns, puddles under our boots, and weary we wander like ghosts through the green. In dreams I merge with her, in flight, a butterfly, purple, speckled pink, all sparkles. My thoughts turn vibrant as a toddler's, my consciousness as if I've been propelled through time. My mother explained that the angels appear in the clouds like a single line of cotton slicing through the blue. Magic, stunning, it really was. And so was she, though shedding weight and tears at such a rate, I could not keep up with her stride. She always walked so fast. Eventually, I caught up to her, close enough to hear the beating of her heart and watch your eyes wander again to the butterfly. Each time a different form, but always the same angel to her, the same angel as appeared in clouds and in me, like the angel couldn't fathom shape, so instead took on the infinite, which is why my mother wanted, more than anything, to take on the world of the spirit, since she was always part of it, like the cloud. It is as if, for her, the cloud is meant to swallow the sky, so the whole sky becomes an angel. She wants to become an angel. I cannot help myself. I love her angels as my own, just as I am hers. Her images belong to my heart, formed in her. I found my answer in spirit that could never be found in words alone.
Thank you so much, Rebecca. Thank you for coming on here today. I wish you all success with your book. You have a wonderful rest of your day.
Thank you so much. You too.
Thank you. Thank you so much for being with us today for Prolific Pulse Press, LLC. You have a wonderful rest of your day.